I asked you to come up with a list of adjectives that described Jesus, what he's like, his personality, I think a lot of us would come up with a list that sounds like gentle, meek, kind, friendly, loving, sweet, nice Jesus, good Jesus. And that's all those things are true, right? But in the gospel today, we see a different kind of Jesus that we don't always think of when we just say, like, what's Jesus like? In today's gospel, he's incendiary, literally. He wants to set the world on fire. He's divisive. He says, it's a great line, you thought I want to bring peace to the earth? I don't want to bring peace to the earth. I want to bring division, right? How many times do we think of Jesus saying, oh, yes, he's a uniter. He's a peacemaker. He's so loving. No, he said verbatim, I want to bring division on earth. Jesus said that, the same one Jesus. He's also talking about setting people against family members against family members. I thought the family that prays together stays together. Isn't Jesus this great, you know, bond that brings us all together? What's going on in the gospel today? Why is he so amped up? Well, the following of Christ, being a disciple of Christ, is something that goes deeper than even our family bonds. We hear in the second reading about in the book, the epistle to the Hebrews, about the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, speaking about those early Christian martyrs. The family that we belong to because of our faith in Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is more important than even our own families. That it's a radical choice. In the epistle to the Hebrews, again at the end, it says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In our own lives, Christianity, being a disciple of Christ, is the most important thing. In our relationships, being a Christian is the most important thing. It's exclusive. We don't like that word either. That being a Christian means you're not anything else. That following Jesus means giving up everything to follow him. All the other things that would conflict with that, instead, you have to be a follower of him. And so why does Jesus say, I come to bring division? Well, he's God. He knows he gave us free will. And he knows that because we have free will from the very beginning with Adam and Eve and everybody since then, that some people are going to follow his call to be his disciple, and some people are going to reject that call. Some people are going to say, no, thank you. I'm going to go my own way. And so he doesn't intend, in God's absolute will, obviously he intends that everyone follows him and is saved. But in his permissive will, it's a mystery. We don't know who does it. We don't worry about other people's, you know, interior state, their relationship with God. But people do not follow him. It's through the whole Gospels people are rejecting him, especially like the Pharisees and everybody. But then people who are like, ooh, I like this. And then they're like, ah, no, maybe not for me. That Jesus knows that some people in our families, some people in our friends are not going to follow Christ, not going to follow him. And so he warns us today to say, just so you know, even if other people are going away from you, even more important, if it comes down to it, is following me. When we think of like what we want for our kids when they grow up or whatever, the first thing, number one, Jesus is saying, is that they be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not that they get into a good college, get a nice car, a nice family. No, the number one thing that we should want for everyone is that they be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why it's a radical, it's exclusive, it's absolute. That Jesus is saying, there is nothing more important than being a follower of me. I know in my own life, it's difficult that I have family members that don't practice the faith. And it's one of the most difficult things in my life because I obviously take the faith very seriously. It's one of the greatest comforts in my life, one of the greatest joys of my life. I know many of us, probably most of us, also have good family members and friends who don't practice the faith. And sometimes we can almost despair and be like, God, what are you... But we also have to remember that God wants those people, our friends, our families, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, everything. God wants those people to be a Christian more than we do. God desires their salvation even more than we do. So when we're sad, when we're like, why can't this person come to church? Why don't they believe in God? Why do they hate God? God wants them to come around even more than we do. And so we talk to him and say, God, I thought, you know, do you love this person? Help them. And of course, they have freedom, but we trust that God has all things in mind, that we can't see the big picture. God sees the whole picture. And he allows certain things to happen that are not pleasant because of freedom. But we do also trust him that we pray. We pray for these people. We witness to these people. We look for openings to have conversations with them, not to beat them over the head, but if there's an opening where they might you know, reconsider their status with the church, with Jesus, that we're ready for that. And we ask the Holy Spirit to show us when those moments come. But God desires that salvation more than any of us. That's why he's so excited today in the gospel, because he wants all of us to be saved. He wants all of us to follow him, because that's what we're designed for. That's what's going to make us most happy. And so when we're discouraged by what we see around us with family members and stuff, just trust that Jesus, who is all-loving, loves them even more than we love them, that cares about them even more than we care about them, that we pray for them, offer little sacrifices for them, witness to them, most of all, to witness to them, that one day we might all be in that cloud of witnesses around the heavenly throne forever.